In this episode of Fictional Hangover, we discuss poisoners, elementals, and naturalists in Three Dark Crowns by Kendara Blake.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about our favorite young adult books, series, and authors that is full of spoilers. I'm Amber.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we're going to be discussing Three Dark Crowns by Kendara Blake.
If you haven't read this series, please remember that all our podcasts are going to be full of spoilers. If you haven't read the series and don't want to be spoiled, stop listening to us and go read or listen to the books. If you haven't done any of this, but want to pretend that you have, or if you don't care about spoilers, or if you love these books as much as we do, then listen up. Standard disclaimer.
All right, so we are going to talk about the three of the four books that are out in this series so far. This is a fantasy series, which has magic, and I love magic.
You do love magic.
Do we want to talk about any background information about the author or anything else before?
Yes, because I like what I found.
Okay.
Okay, so while I was trying to find some background info, I read Kendara's blog probably too much. I know. I did learn that she was inspired by bees to write
bees.
Three Dark Crowns. Bees!
Well, that's actually really interesting.
I know. Specifically, a queen bee that has daughter bees, and the daughter bees have to kill each other to become the next queen bee. I mean, like exactly the plot of the series.
Wait, is that a real thing? Like in nature?
I think so.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, bees. I don't know if this is true or if I made it up, but I really feel like I remember reading somewhere that this was just supposed to be a duology originally, right?
It was
just
going to be two. It definitely was.
But then everybody loved it, so now it's a quadrilogy? Is that a word? Quadrilogy? Sure it is. Anyway, we're going to be talking about this book before we normally would, which is weird because the series isn't finished yet, but we have a surprise, and it couldn't wait.
Plus, we both just really like this series a lot, so we wanted to talk about it.
That's true. But really, if it could have been wrapped up, maybe we'll talk about it again after it wraps up. And also have another. Yeah, and also have another surprise.
Well, let's wait for this surprise first. Get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
All right. What were your initial thoughts about the book?
This is another one that I think I read for the Arkansas Teen Book Award, and it wasn't a winner because clearly those teens don't know what's up. I do seem to remember that I felt like the beginning of book one took a little too long to get going, but then, oh my God, the last few chapters, just, my head exploded and everything was fantastic, and then I had to wait for forever until the next book came out, and it was terrible to wait that long. But I fell in love with it. I was so shocked at the end. I was hooked. And I listened to the audio, and the audio is excellent. And I also learned how to say Katarine. That's how they say it in the audio. And I know that Katarine is correct because I read it on Kendara's blog.
Has to be done, for sure.
Has to be.
So Amanda loved these books so much. And I think what happened is, right, the last one was released this September. The third one, sorry, was released. Mm-hmm. This September 2018. So what happened is that I was on vacation in September in Hawaii, and she sent me a text about this book. And it was probably because you were just reading the third one or had just downloaded it or something. And so I had heard of Three Dark Crowns, and I went ahead and started reading it, and I just devoured them. Just like Amanda, the first one took me a little bit to get into. But I finished it within 3 days, and then I immediately, the ending was so good that I immediately bought the second book on Amazon Kindle and started reading it right away when I finished the first one. And I finished that one in 2 days, and I finished the third one in 2 days as well. So I clearly like the series.
Yes, they're very good. We should talk about the characters, right?
Yeah, let's talk about them first.
This character info came from Epic Reads. And then, you know, there's a few changes thrown in here and there. But mostly from Epic Reads. I just want to let people know Epic Reads. And I didn't burgle them. Arsinoe is a naturalist, but she has a slight problem. Her ability to control aspects of nature, like plants and animals, has yet to appear. Her lack of abilities makes her an underdog in the battle for the crown. But what she lacks in naturalist talent, she makes up for with sharp wit, a feisty spirit, and a pack of fiercely loyal friends. And the tiny fact that she's actually a poisoner.
Second, we have Mirabella. She is the elemental queen. Her power is controlling the elements. She is the strongest elemental queen Fenburn has seen in years. And she's favored to win by many islanders, including the temple. Being the favored queen has its perks, and Mirabella is also considered the most beautiful of the sisters. But is the people's loyalty truly with Mirabella or with the temple that supports her?
Who's to say? Catarine is the poisoner queen who comes from a long line of reigning poisoner queens. But guess what? She doesn't have any abilities.
Boo.
She does have a couple of things working in her favor, though. Namely, her connections to the powerful Black Council. And then, at the end of book one, she gets pushed down into a hole and everyone thinks she's going to die. Oh, no. But then she crawls out of the Breccia Domain. And she's possessed by lots of dead queens. And now they live inside of her. And then she becomes ruthless and she's named queen. Because she's so powerful and full of dead bodies. It's too bad. It's too bad. For her, though, that she thinks her sisters are dead, but they're not, and they're ready for a fight.
Too bad or good?
I don't know.
All right. Next, we have Jules. Jules is Arsinoe's best friend and foster sister, and also a potential queen. She's legion cursed, having both the greatest naturalist power seen in more than 60 years and also the war gift, which includes telekinetic powers. An outside group thinks she should be the queen since she's the most powerful. But can she truly be queen if she's not one of the three triplets?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't think so. Unless we just disrupt everything. I know, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. So these girls all have a slew of suitors. That's part of being one of the triplets. They have all these boys that want to marry them. And they all have lovers. And they have family members. And they have friends. And there are so many. It's too many to name. The most important, though, are probably Joseph, Jules' boyfriend. But he also fooled around with Mirabella. And then there's Peter, who loves Catarine. But then he tries to kill her and pushes her into a hole. And then she marries and accidentally kills Nicholas. And then there's Billy, who loves Arsinoe, but then he vows to marry Mirabella. So it's a love octagon? Not really.
Oh, man.
They don't all love each other. No. They all love parts of the octagon.
There's definitely a triangle with two sisters and a boy, though. Oh, not two sisters. I'm sorry. Two girls.
Two girls and a boy.
My bad.
But then there's another triangle, and then another triangle, and there's a million triangles. Is it a pyramid? Can you stack the triangles together?
No. That isn't how they work.
It doesn't work that way?
Not really.
Fine.
So let's get some summaries in real quick. Three Dark Crowns is the first book. In every generation on the island of Fenburn, a set of triplets is born. Three queens, all equal heirs to the crown, and each possessor of a coveted magic. Mirabella is a fierce elemental, able to spark hungry flames or vicious storms at the snap of her fingers. Catarine is a poisoner, one who can ingest the deadliest poisons without so much as a stomachache. Arsinoe, a naturalist, is said to have the ability to bloom the reddest rose and control the fiercest of lions. But becoming the queen crowned isn't solely a matter of royal birth. Each sister has to fight for it. And it's not just a game of win or loss, it's life or death. The night the sisters turn 16, the battle begins. The last queen standing gets the crown.
Do you know that? That's the summary from the book.
Yeah, I figured.
That comes with the book. But look at that line. Becoming the queen crowned isn't solely a matter of royal birth.
Well, meaning that you're not queen just because you were born in it. You still have to fight to it. Just because you're born one of the triplets doesn't mean you're automatically the queen.
Yeah, but can we take that line and twist it? Is Jules going to be queen? That's just what I'm asking here. Is Jules going to be queen?
I don't think we can, because I don't think when this was written that they had four books planned.
Fine.
I think there was only two planned. So
I don't want Jules to be queen, so I'm okay with that. But I think that would be one of those fantastic things that just happens to make perfect sense after the whole thing is complete.
I agree. And if we find out that Jules is queen, then we can go back to this and say that it did mean that.
Yeah, we called it. We called it in advance if that happens.
I mean, I have my personal opinions about it, but, you know.
Okay. In book two, called One Dark Throne, the battle for the crown has begun. But which of the three sisters will prevail? With the unforgettable events of the quickening behind them and the ascension year underway, all bets are off. Catarine, once the weak and feeble sister, is now stronger than ever before. Arsinoe, after discovering the truth about her powers, must figure out how to make her secret talent work in her favor without anyone finding out. And Mirabella, once thought to be the strongest sister of all and the certain queen crowned, faces attacks like never before. Ones that put those around her in danger she can't seem to prevent.
Again, dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
I really like that. Must figure out how to make her secret talent work in her favor.
Yeah. That's hard. That's got to be hard for her. We'll get to that soon.
In Two Dark Reigns, Queen Catarine has waited her entire life to wear the crown. But now that she finally has it, the murmurs of dissent grow louder by the day. There's also the alarming issue of whether or not her sisters are actually dead, or if they're waiting in the wings to usurp the throne. Mirabella and Arsinoe are alive, but in hiding on the mainland and dealing with a nightmare of their own, being visited repeatedly by a specter they think might be the fabled Blue Queen. Though she says nothing, her rotting, bony finger pointing out to sea is clear enough. Return to Fenburn. Jules, too, is in a strange place, in disguise, and only her confidants, a war-gifted girl named Amelia, and her oracle friend Matilda, are urging her to take on a role she can't imagine filling. A legioned, cursed queen who will lead a rebel army to Catarine's doorstep. This is an uprising that the mysterious Blue Queen may have more to do with than anyone could have guessed or expected.
Oh, man. I really wish the fourth book was out.
I know. That's okay. I feel like it just means we get to reread these. That's what's going to happen for me next fall.
Yeah. Yep. I'll reread them too. That'll be great.
All right. What was your favorite part from the first book, from Three Dark Crowns?
The end. The end and the end times a thousand. Catarine surviving the Breccia Domain, and then we find out that Arsinoe is a poisoner. Like, it's the ultimate twist, and it was the best thing ever.
I love how they broke that news about Arsinoe. How she broke the news, sorry. The chocolates and Arsinoe's, I mean, it was like classic Arsinoe, like, I can't resist chocolate, and I ate one of them, but I'm fine. And yeah. You got poisoned. So, like, what's up with that?
Oops.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. She eats so much. Can you blame her? Seriously.
Can I blame her?
Yeah. I mean, you get these chocolates, and you're not supposed to eat them all immediately? No. You have to eat them all.
I think she had three of them.
Yeah. And she was fine.
Yeah, I know. And Jules was out for 2 days.
Yep.
Crazy. I also really like the quickening, it's called, right? The ceremony?
That's the whole thing. I think they refer to, like, their demonstrations. Oh,
what is it then? Beltram?
Beltane?
Beltane, wow. Okay.
But that's, like, the season. That's when they do all the stuff. Is during Beltane.
Well,
but
what is it called when they do the presentations?
I think what
palace?
You're thinking about is, I think they refer to it as the stage. Like, this is Mirabella's stage, and she does all her stuff. I think it's a stage.
I thought it was literally a stage, and that's why it said that. Like, she was on a stage.
Well, I mean, yeah, but in the books, the chapter is called Mirabella's Stage.
Yeah, because she's on a stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like, what's the quickening then?
So, after they turn 16, they meet at the Quickening to display their gift, and then they battle. But
yeah, that's they meet I thought you at were talking the Quickening about, to display their gifts.
Right, but I thought you were talking about specifically only Mirabella and her.
No, all three of them do it. They do Grave Noir.
Gave Noir.
Gave
Noir.
I'm still wiling over here, guys.
No, and I get that. I know that they all do their own things, but I thought that you were specifically talking just about Mirabella's thing, and I was just giving you a term from the book.
I know that it's called her stage, but I meant the event. Clearly, I said the Quickening, and you told me no. That it was the Quickening. It is at the Quickening.
It is the Quickening. I'm sorry that I told you no, but I misunderstood what you were asking.
You know, an apology means nothing when you put a butt at the end.
I'm going to put your butt at the end. That was awful.
I'm going to say that I really liked that whole scene where Mirabella is showing her powers as an elemental and she's doing this stuff with fire and everybody's captivated. And, in the book, it's like people are literally physically drawn to her, not just to look at her, but like to move closer to her. And to me, I was like, oh, how could she not be queen? She's clearly really powerful and like pulls people in. Right. And then I don't know why I just love that scene personally, but I also like that the bear gets sent after her. Stupid, yeah. Joseph. Stupid Joseph. All right. What about From One Dark Throne?
I like Catherine's descent into madness. Mm. And I also like when Arsinoe gets killed, quotes. I'm doing quote fingers right now. She gets killed in their hunt. And then that makes Mirabella challenge Catherine to a duel. And like Mirabella was ready to kill everyone. But then she's upset when she thinks Arsinoe is dead. So then she gets revenge. But then she can't get revenge in their duel because she was poisoned. Like, just everything.
I know, so messed up.
But I really like when Arsinoe gets shot in the back. And, they're like, oh, Jules, she stole the body. Jules stole the body and a horse. Yeah. But still, she stole the body. Go after her. And then she's fine. She was shot with a poison arrow, but she was fine. Because guess what? She's a poisoner. She's fine.
Yep. She uses that gift quite a few times to get out of trouble.
Yeah, she does.
I also really liked the ending. You mentioned the duel in the... It was like an arena area, right? Mm-hmm. And Arsinoe gets put down in the cellars and they like make this big deal of killing her and they poison her and she pretends to be dead. And it's like, I mean, what a handy trick.
I love it.
Escape. I mean, the whole thing. I just love that part.
And Mirabella's like crying over her corpse and then she starts laughing. Oh, hey, guess what?
Hey, surprise,
I'm a poisoner. Secrets.
Yeah. I think I knew that pretty early, probably in the first book, that something was up with their... Obviously, we found out at the end of the first book, but I knew before then that something was up with their powers. I was like, they probably got switched at birth, or one of them is nothing and one got switched at birth, right? That was my thought, too. Yeah. So I was like, this is weird. Or I thought maybe one of them was actually like an oracle or something and like they just didn't kill her.
Yeah. But no, they got switched because Mirabella was so powerful when she was born. They just assumed that she was going to be queen crowned. And
that's not the only reason.
If you read the novellas, that's what happens.
We're not talking about the novellas.
I know, but I'm just saying. They think she's going to be queen because she's so powerful. And they switch the babies.
I know, but they switch the... I know.
To make her life better.
But they also are trying to get poisoner control out.
Well, yeah. But it doesn't matter because, I mean...
I'm pretty sure that was in the third book.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying. They thought that Mirabella was going to be it.
And it didn't matter.
Right. And of course, they want to get rid of the poisoner line. Because poisoners have been in control for forever. But,
if they thought Mirabella was going to win no matter what, why didn't they just send them all to their respective places? And then Mirabella would just win no matter what, if that's what they thought.
I don't know. I guess they just wanted to take an extra step just to be super sure. But
I'll read the novellas soon, I promise. I'm still got a pretty big stack for December of to be reads.
Yeah, me too.
So
the novellas are really good. They're it's cute stories. They're not like
cute.
And the first one is it's about the girls when they were younger.
Aww.
So you get to see them together a little bit before they're shipped off. And then the second one is about Elsabet, the crazy Oracle Queen. But I won't ruin that one for everyone because you should read it. It's good.
All right. What about Two Dark Reigns?
I like that Catherine is trying to be herself again. She doesn't want the dead queens to control her anymore. And, you know, she's herself a lot more of the time in this book. Although then she goes crazy a little. The queens come back and they take over again. Which then it makes me like her because I always kind of like the crazy characters. But still, I like that she's coming back to herself until the crazies take over.
It's like I like Jules in this book a lot. Although she's another reluctant one. I also, you know, like I didn't love the mainland that much, but I did like the time with the ghosts. What was her name?
Daphne?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The Blue Queen.
No, she's not the Blue Queen. She's the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
Ilian is the queen, I think.
Right. But Daphne's the ghost that she like or dreams about. I'm sorry.
Mirabella sees Ilian. I think that's the one that she sees because the other ones have been killed, right? So it's got to be her. So she sees her, but then Arsinoe is having dreams of Daphne.
Right. But I think Arsinoe sees the Blue Queen too.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Is that right? Is that what we were trying to figure out?
Yeah, so I just like that whole, I like her dreams a lot. I like the side story that comes out of her dreams. And then I like the twist at the end about all of that, too.
Yeah. I like that Arsinoe keeps taking Billy's socks. Because she's dressing like a man. She's wearing pants all the time. And she keeps taking his socks.
Right.
I think they're really cute. I love
the two of them.
Yeah, me too. But it's a little weird because then Mirabelle is there. And who's she going to end up with? Anybody? Is she just going to be dead? She's going to be the Mist, isn't she? She's going to sacrifice herself and become the Mist.
So we didn't talk, like, that's really what happens at the end of this book, right? Is, like, the Ilium, whatever, becomes the Mist. And Daphne becomes the Queen.
Yeah.
Spoiler. Big spoiler.
Big spoiler. She was the fourth queen.
You know, right, that they didn't kill.
Oops, there were four of them.
What was she? What was her specialty?
She's an elemental, and they tried to drown her. They threw her in the water. And then she washes up on shore, like, dust off her shoulders.
In the mainland?
Yeah. Oh,
gosh. That's right, and she gets taken in, yeah.
Yeah, and she's, like, she works in a household there.
I really like her.
Yeah, I like her, too.
She ends up getting to be with her Prince Charming.
But, I mean, how do they not know? I guess because she's on the mainland, and it's not that weird for people to have black hair and black eyes. But there's four of them. They all look the same.
I mean, although the queen knew, right? The Blue Queen. Yeah, I was going to say the Blue Queen kind of knew, right?
Yeah.
She figured it, right?
How could you not know? I guess they don't have to look. They're not identical, I guess.
Correct. I mean, I have a friend with twins who don't look anything alike.
Yeah. What's that? Fraternal?
Yeah. Who was your favorite character?
I know that I talk about Catherine a lot, but I think Arsinoe is my favorite because I feel like I am her. She's so sarcastic and, you know, she's kind of mean and she really likes to eat. And she's also really cool because she has more than one power, kind of. She's got her blood bear and she does her low magic and now she's a poisoner. I wish that she was able to do more poisoning than she currently is, but because she doesn't live in Ender Down with the rest of the poisoners, she's not learning all sorts of things, and you know, she's not surrounded by poison all the time. It's really detrimental. So I wish that she could explore her powers more, because I think that she would be very powerful if she was surrounded by poisoners. And I really just like her scene at the end of One Dark Throne. She fakes her own death by poison.
Yeah.
She's funny. She's funny, and I like her, and she never gives up. She believes that she doesn't have a gift, but she's got to kill her sisters, so she learns another one. She lost her one poisoned bear, and then she got another one. She gets shot in the back, and then she comes back to life. She's amazing, and I want her to be queen, if there are still queens. But then that means there's another poisoner queen, and they probably won't let that happen.
Exactly. Or is she, like, poisonous and naturalist queen?
But she's not a naturalist. She's a poisoner.
Whatever. She was raised a naturalist.
Yeah, but she doesn't have any naturalist powers. She can't grow her plants.
Whatever.
Sorry.
I'm surprised by this answer of yours.
Why?
Because I feel like you talk about Katarina a lot, and like, I'm surprised that you have so much good to say about Arsinoe.
I just like her, okay?
It's funny. I don't love her.
Why
she's
not?
Okay. I just don't feel the same way.
Ugh, she's funny, and I like her a lot.
She is funny, but she's also just like, she's too chill. Like, she hangs out with two lovebirds and is just like, oh, I'm fine. I'm just chilling. Whatever. Hanging in with Jules and Joseph, who are, like, destined to be together, but just me over here by myself, and, like, little me, who's never gonna be queen, and who's probably gonna get killed by my sisters, and, like, I'm cool, though. I don't know, she's too...
Is she too easygoing for you?
I think she might be.
You want her to be spunkier?
I'm a little high-strung.
I mean, look, you know, this is your life, and you know that you're probably not going to be crowned queen, so you should just live the life that you want to live until it's time for you to die.
I can't believe they never thought to try poison before that. But like, maybe something was wrong, and maybe she'd be good at that?
But what if she wasn't? What if she wasn't a poisoner, and they're just like, hey, let's just try this out,
just
and then they poison
it. Like, something that would, like, give her, like, rashes, not, like, eating it. I'm serious. I'm very logical here.
Just try this little bit of poison. It's fine. You probably won't die.
Not if it's just like poison ivy or something.
Yeah, just you're just funny.
Whatever.
I'm surprised that they didn't poison her just to try it out.
Well, how could she not think something was wrong with her? She had no talents.
Well, not everybody has talents.
Poor Katarina, all that stuff they made her go through.
I know.
To try to, like, teach her how to be better at consuming poison. Ugh.
So much so that she's just made of poison.
Pretty
she's
much.
Full of poison. Oh, in the Gavi Noir, and just gotta eat a little bit of all this stuff and it'll be fine. Eating scorpions and poison berries and stuff, and then she pukes everywhere.
Ugh,
bless her.
Awful.
Bless her. She tried so hard.
I know.
She tried so hard. That would be a lame thing to show your powers.
I think it's like the lamest one. That's why I like the elemental. It's very showy.
Yeah. Like, you get up on stage and you set stuff on fire.
Or you can just eat a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Or just eat all of this poison.
I mean, I think it would be cool to be able to poison other people, but
I wouldn't want to show off. Yeah, I wouldn't want to show off by eating. I would rather show off by sneakily poisoning someone. You know, you're standing up on the stage, and then you just point to someone and they die because you poisoned them like 5 minutes later. I mean, earlier. Shit.
I knew what you meant.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Who is your favorite, then? You don't like Arsinoe.
I didn't say I don't like her. I said I don't love her. I actually think that Katarine might be my favorite of the three, because I think that in the third book, when she starts, even in the second, when she kind of starts getting her wits about her and starts, like, ordering people around a little bit more and, like, really starts filling those shoes, and the role that she's in, and really starts understanding the effect that the people have when they're, that Mist comes and people are freaked out that she has to do something, and she starts to really feel responsible for the people and not just super selfish. I really liked watching that line that her character went through, you know, the arc that her character went through from the beginning to that point. You know, that line that we see all the time in conjunction with this book about, I want revenge and then I want my crown. And it's like, before that, she was a little bit weakish. And then she comes to the point where
she's not weak anymore. Because she's possessed by all the corpses.
Yeah, but even when she's possessed, like, there's times when it's just her and she's still pretty strong. I think her will becomes a lot stronger when she gets out of the Breccia domain. Like, she stops letting them walk all over her, like Genevieve.
Yeah.
You know, she starts talking back to her and she starts really assuming that role. And she's like, I'm not just your puppet. Like, I'm the queen. I like her.
I like her too. I do.
Were you surprised by anything in the books?
Well, obviously I was surprised by the end of book one.
Yeah.
With Catarine being pushed into the Breccia domain and then crawling out of it. I think that's the only thing from book one that I was really surprised about.
I mean, I was surprised that Peter threw her down there. Like, I understood his motives behind that, but I was also surprised that he pretended to be looking for her and that he didn't own up to it and then that he still returns. Like, I think that's weird. Wouldn't want to be him.
No, would not want to be Peter.
Which is funny because I really enjoyed their relationship before that.
Yeah, because he does love her.
Yeah, and he teaches her how to do all sorts of stuff.
He teaches her how to be sexy.
Hmm.
And then he pushes her into the domain. Mm-hmm. To save her! To save her life.
That's what you get for letting a boy save your life.
Yeah. Pushed into a hole full of corpses.
Was there anything else you were surprised about from the other books?
Well, yeah. I was surprised by a lot of things in the second book. I'm surprised that Natalia, which we haven't mentioned, she's Catarine's guardian in Indrid Down. I'm surprised that she was killed by her lover, William Chatworth.
Yeah.
That was kind of crazy. I wasn't expecting that. And then he gets killed.
And which then Billy we would expect.
Right. And then Billy spends a lot of the third book looking for him. Or talking about, you know, wanting, like, oh, well, when my father comes back. Like, no, dude, he's not coming back. Sorry.
Yeah.
But my favorite surprise was when Catarine, she has become the queen crowned. And then she gets to marry her king consort. And she chooses Nicholas. And nobody expects her to pick Nicholas. And then they're consummating their marriage. And then he dies because of her contaminated cunt.
Toxic twat.
Venomous vagina. It's great. She is made of poison. And he dies. He gets poisoned and he dies. He shrivels up and he dies. Venomous vagina. I like alliteration.
So good. Thank God she didn't choose Billy, which is who they wanted her to choose, or Billy could be dead.
Oh, I don't want Billy to die.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So it's good that she went with somebody they didn't suspect and chose to marry Nicholas.
Yeah, I didn't really care for Nicholas very much. So I'm glad that he was poisoned. And, you know, I guess that was book two. I'm really just altogether surprised by the turn of events in Two Dark Reigns. Like, everything was different in Two Dark Reigns. Like, Jules is going to be queen. There are other queens that Arsinoe is having visions of, and one of them is the Mist. Like, all of that stuff was very surprising to me. I wasn't expecting it. You know, I just thought the next book was going to be more of them fighting with each other.
Yeah, it did seem to take a curve line, and also the Legion Clarist plot line. That kind of threw me for a loop. Like, so a lot of times when I read fantasy books, I don't think of them as rebellion type books. You know, I typically, like, think of that with dystopian type books. And so when we see the rebellion coming up and we see them asking Jules to be the Legion Queen, whatever, I'm like, what? The idea that one of those three might not be queen hadn't occurred to me until then.
Yeah.
Makes sense, though. Again, you know, I read so many books that have rebellions and new rulers and changing the order of things that I certainly am not one to say this is the way it's always done. That's therefore that's the way it's always going to be. So I personally think it's a good thing.
Do you want Jules to be queen?
I think there's a good chance she'd do a better job than the other three.
Do you think so?
I think there's a chance that she would be, let me put it this way, that she'd be a better figurehead queen than the other three at this point for the community. I'm not necessarily thinking thinking that she could do the job of a queen as well, but I think the people could get behind her easier than the other three at this point after everything that's happened.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. Who would you be? What would you do?
I would probably be Mirabella. And honestly, if I was her, I probably would have just killed my sisters. This coming from a girl who's an only child, so I really can't, like, claim to actually do that. But I feel like she was powerful enough from the beginning that, like, what held her back was her love for her sisters. And I am a Slytherin, and I like power and ambition. And I probably would have just whipped up a nice little tornado or fire to kill them and been done with it.
All right.
Are you judging me? She's judging me, guys.
No, I'm not judging. I just don't see.
What would you do? You don't see what?
I was going to say I don't see Mirabella as a Slytherin.
She's not, but I would take her gifts and be me.
Okay.
I would be me as an elemental queen, and I would come into power. That's what I would do.
So you wouldn't be Mirabella. You would just be a badass elemental.
Yes. I'd be a real queen.
You would be.
Yes, queen.
I would want to be a poisoner, definitely. But I think if I were a character, I would want to be Arsinoe. Because, you know, she's a poisoner. She finds out way too late. But she's also got a bear. And she wears a mask, which I think is cool. And she does not want to murder her sisters.
Stark contrast, guys. Sorry. Normally you're the dark one and I'm not.
Right.
This is why we get along, though. It's very unpredictable when I'm going to be dark versus when you are.
Yes. She's just really tough. Like, she was attacked by a bear and she was shot with an arrow and she just keeps on going. But I think if I were really in this world and I wasn't a character and I just happened to be a poisoner queen, then yeah, like you, I would have done it as soon as I could. Just get it out of the way. I know this is my life. This is what is expected of me. So, yeah, I just poison them and get it out of the way.
See, and I would be so, like, my thing with that is, you know, how Mirabella is like, oh, but when we were kids, we got along and they're my sisters and I don't want to kill them. I am, not only am I, like, somewhat of a rule follower in the idea that, like, you were told that you have to kill them, I also am not trusting. So I wouldn't trust that I would try to form a relationship with my sisters only to have them stab me in the back. And I will be damned if I'm the one that stabs in the back.
Yeah, that's rough.
You know, so... that's why I think I would do that.
Which power, if you were an elemental, would you favor? Like, I know that, you know, not all of them necessarily have control of all the elements. So which would be your go-to element? Fire?
No, I think water, actually. I grew up in the water. I was a swimmer. I'm a little afraid of fire still sometimes. I'm not afraid of water at all. I could be stuck in the middle of the ocean and probably be okay. Not afraid of rain. I love rain, actually. I am very much a water person, which is funny because I am a fire sign, a fixed fire sign at that, with astrology.
I don't know much about astrology. I know that as a Scorpio, everyone expects me to be full of rage, and that's true. So that's accurate, but I don't know much else about it.
I'm going to look it up for you. Don't you worry.
Thanks.
What's a Scorpio? I feel like they might be Earth, an Earth sign.
I don't know. But I do have fiery rage sometimes.
You do. It is a, water what? Sign.
I don't know.
That's weird. A Scorpio? What's also funny is Aquarius isn't a water sign.
Yeah, that is weird. Okay.
All right. I think it's time for our surprise.
Is it time for our surprise?
I think so.
Okay. Well, here's our surprise. We're playing Would You Rather with a very special guest, Kendara Blake. Woo!
Welcome. Hey. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for meeting me in real life one time.
Yeah, that was like a bonus. because I almost never, whenever I do podcasts with folks, you know, it's just a voice. So it was nice to be able to put a face with a voice, even for a few minutes.
Yeah, you guys are lucky up there. You guys have a lot more author signings than we do up there, or down here, sorry. I guess Miami has quite a few, but Amanda has gotten to meet way more people than I have. So I was very jealous. She was very nice and sent me a signed copy of a book from you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so. You should thank her for that. Because...
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, so we are about to start our Would You Rather game. We have some really good ones today, and we're very excited to hear your answers as well as share ours. So you want me to go first?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Our first one is, would you rather be a poisoner, a naturalist, or an elemental?
So, I don't know. There are, like, elements of each one that would be nice. Like, I think I naturally am more of a poisoner just because they eat so much, and so do I. But I love animals, so I would also like to be a naturalist. And plus, you know, back to the food thing, if you could just ripen your fruits and vegetables whenever you wanted them, it would be so convenient. I hate having to meal plan around an avocado, you know?
Oh, like, me too. Avocados are the worst.
And I'm like, okay, you're going to be ready on Tuesday. I can have tacos on Tuesday. And then it's like, no, I'm not going to be ready on Thursday. Ugh, I hate freaking avocados. So that would be really convenient. And yet, you know, from a survival standpoint, being an elemental would be really convenient because you could, you know, fire and survive and cook stuff. So I guess it all comes down to you would need to be all three to get the most benefit out of all the foods. Cooking things, ripening things, and then just eating things. So I don't know. I can't decide. What do you guys think?
I really appreciate that answer. I also want you to know that Amanda understands that I love avocados, and it's a weekly struggle with me to know which days my avocados are going to be ripe for my breakfast. So
I don't like avocados, you guys. I'm sorry. They have a weird texture.
You're weird.
Anything that's going to get a would-be avocado eater is the texture. Like, if you're a texture eater, it's hard. They're very mushy and a little bit gooey, chunky.
So good.
Pasty?
They are so good, though. Yeah.
Okay, so what about you, Amanda?
I would be a poisoner, but maybe not for the reason of, you know, eating all the foods, even though I do like to eat quite a bit. I like how just diabolically sneaky they are. And they're really good at, you know, like sleight of hand. You say, hey guys, what's up? I'm just going to whip this poison out of my sleeve and pour it into your drink. But you didn't notice because, you know, I'm distracting you with my face and talking to you. I would be a poisoner. Then I could just sneakily kill everyone and it would be fine.
And they do have like the best wardrobe. Like they have style. Like, they're all just basically just David Blaine.
Not
dressed that well anymore. But wait, I'm not even, I'm thinking of, like, Chris Angel.
Chris Angel is worse.
They all just wear all black. But I feel like you're right that anything that I've, any, like, fan art I've ever seen, the Poisoner has, like, the pretty dress. And certainly the Naturalist is not the most fun dressed.
Right, yeah, they're very little house.
Yeah, so... So I feel like it's good. This works out because I would rather be an elemental. I'm not sure that I would be one if we had to be honest about our character and our, like, what role we would fit the best personally. But if I got the choice, I would be an elemental. I feel I've always been obsessed with the elements since I was younger, especially water and fire, and would just love to be able to make it rain whenever I wanted to. And, you know, I don't know, whenever I was, like, mad, just make it storm outside. Or make it sunny? I don't know.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Oh, man. All right. So our next question, would you rather be war gifted or be an oracle?
I'd rather be war gifted because the sight gift is so varied. You just never know what kind of sight gift you're going to get. Like, you might get the kind where you can just, like, feel cold spots where people died, or you might get the kind where you can just read, say, tarot cards, or you might get the kind with cool premonitions. Like, cool premonitions might be, you know, worth it, but it's such a toss-up. Like you might just be able to flip coins, you know, heads, tails, heads. Is that like, that's would be just the worst gift to have.
What if you didn't get the lame version of of the sight gift? What if you got, you know, like the powerful version of it? Would you rather have that then?
The best one. I think I would still rather be war gifted just because, I don't know, the sight gift seems like even when it's really strong and you can see things coming, it seems more of a pain in the butt than anything. Like, either I'm informed of really bad things coming down the pipe and I have to find a way to avert them or what? Or they ruin all my surprise parties, you know? dang it, you know, they just ruin all the good surprises. Like, yeah, I know you're going to get me a coat. I've already seen it.
Yeah, I feel like that's not only would I not want to necessarily be an oracle because I personally don't ever really want to know the future. I feel like that kind of takes away from living in the moment of it. But I also have been known to like soldier characters and to like uniformity and rules. And I feel like the war gift would be more in alignment with that.
Yeah, but you get crazy angry with the war gift, or you can, you know, you just rage out.
I mean, isn't that only if you're Legion cursed? Is it? It's not as bad if you're just war gifted.
It's not that bad, but I mean, war gifted people do have really hot tempers, and they're like super into pain, like childbirth. You're just really looking forward to that, you know. Like,
I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'd still be a fun gift to have.
I just love to be able to shoot an arrow or throw a sword and aim perfectly.
Yeah, and just have it go where you want. That'd be very convenient. They are a lot of fun to write about. Like, they're kind of funny, like unintentionally funny. I think warriors are unintentionally funny. If you can hear a digging, that's my dog. Yeah, he's under my desk trying to fluff up the carpet.
Okay. We were both like, that's a strange one. What is that?
Which doesn't work. Obi, just lay down.
What about you, Amanda?
Oh, I would definitely be war gifted already. Okay. I have rage issues already.
I didn't want to say it. I thought about saying it.
You were thinking
earlier.
It. You were I thinking did. It. I saw it in your face. No. But it, like, when I get irrationally angry, if I could move stuff around at the same time with my powers, then hey, that's all the better.
Yeah. I will say I do love tarot cards. So if I had that particular gift, I may consider being an oracle.
Yeah. Yeah. I read. Do you read tarot?
Oh, like, I have my own set of cards and I'll do it for myself and for some of my friends sometimes, but I'm not very like, I'm not super gifted at it or anything.
I can only do the one deck. Like, people have like five decks. I'm like, no, that's too much. That's way too many cards to remember. I can remember my own deck. I did it once at a Halloween event. Like I would read for people like that were just in attendance. So that was kind of fun.
Do you mean one deck as in, but one for all the different suits or just one suit? You mean the whole
deck? Oh, just
like,
I can only do like the classic Weight Rider tarot deck. I can't do like the Tarot of the Woods or, you know, like the Tarot of the Fairies. I don't know any of that stuff.
I gotcha. No, I have a set that's the normal set of cards just with special drawings on them, actually from one of our other authors that we like a lot, so.
Oh, nice.
She did a theme from her books she must have commissioned somebody to do artwork on tarot cards for her that portrayed themes from the book that went hand in hand, obviously, with the cards they were on. But
that would be very cool. Who is this? Now I must know.
Maggie Stiefvater.
Ah.
With the Raven Boys. She has a deck all on the Raven
Are
Boys.
Are you sure she didn't do them herself? I mean, I know she's an amazing artist.
I think
she probably
did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I wasn't positive, so I didn't want to say that and be wrong. They're beautiful, though. The deck is beautiful.
Yeah. I love it when she, like, just, like, doodles or paints on one of her books and then, gives it away on Twitter. She's always doing crazy stuff like that with the art.
Yeah, I haven't seen that clearly, or I would know that it was her that did them.
She also did the music for her audiobooks, which was really cool.
She's way too multi-talented. Like, that's unfair. You should only have one. You should
very creative.
Write and paint and do music. And she did her own those stop motion animation book trailers for the Shiver series, which are just friggin' cool. She did those too. So Maggie Stevedore is like a quad level threat.
She also does a bunch of stuff with cars. She writes for car magazines.
Yeah, and she has like fainting goats. The woman is just she's got a lot going on.
All right, let's get to the next question. This one's a little bit more interesting. Would you rather be thrown into the Breccia domain or be lost in the mist?
Oh. Oh, I don't know. That both is so, they're both just crappy options. There's no winning there. Like, either you're down, like, you're just falling forever, and then if you finally hit the bottom, they're just a bunch of dead queens waiting to eat you. Or you're in the mist, and who knows? Like, time moves weird in the mist. You could just stay there forever with just mist. And that would, yuck. Or the mist could, like, rip you apart. So, hey!
And your body parts wash up later. I think that's great.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe, you know, do you want to die in the light or do you want to die in the dark? That's what it comes down to. I guess I'd rather die in the mist.
She's making me reconsider my options because my initial gut reaction was the mist. And then I had images of my body being torn apart and suddenly was like, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, you know, you get thrown down into the domain and the fall might just kill you. So you might not have to endure anything, just the fall and then crack, you know, and it's done. So I don't know.
I'd be worried about the aftermath of not dying in the Breccia domain.
Yeah.
As in being possessed by dead queens.
Yeah, or just eaten by them, you know. What the heck? They're just down there. They got nothing to do.
They're bored down there.
They are. They're just, you never know what they're going to get up to.
And they're very excited when you come visit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, that's where I would go. I would go down there. I don't want to drown. And I feel like if I was lost in the mist, then I would probably drown or something like that. And I feel like it's much bigger. The mist is much larger. And I don't know. That seems scarier to me. If I fall into the Breccia domain, it's just a hole. There's not that much going on. And the queens are down there and they're going to eat me or they're going to possess me. And that's fine because I could like see it coming, even though it's pitch black dark. I don't know. The mist scares me more. Is that weird?
No, they're both terrible things.
We got to have comparable things for a would you rather, you know, it makes it harder for sure. Yeah.
Equally terrible things.
Yeah. It can't be like, you know, would you rather eat a jalapeno chili pepper or ride a unicorn? That would, you know, everybody would say ride a unicorn. So
worse. Yeah.
Oh, have you guys
afraid of heights?
I am afraid of heights.
Falling? You'd rather fall down a long hole than be at sea.
Yeah.
Or just, you don't have to be at sea. Like, the mist can come onto the beach.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You could just be on sand and torn apart. So, you know.
Oh, well, if I can stand on sand and get torn apart, then that changes everything. No, I'm still falling down the Breccia domain.
Okay. I'm sticking with the mist.
Wait, but do you guys know Stephen King, The Mist? That's...
Yeah.
Nah. That's scary.
Yeah, there's big, gross things in that mist.
Yeah. Oh, and you know that movie that they made of it? Not like the recent one that they did on Netflix, but the one that came out several years ago. That has the worst ending ever. Any movie ever. Do you guys know? Do you know what happened?
I honestly, that movie makes me like giggle with glee. The ending. So I'm like, oh.
I know. I love the ending, but it is terrible. You just shoot everybody. Shoot your child first. for sure, because your child is going to be devoured. And then the mist clears away and you're by yourself and you've murdered all your friends. such a good ending, but terrible at the same time. Oh, Stephen King. Okay. Would you rather get mauled by a rabid bear or eat poisoned chocolates?
How poisoned are these chocolates?
Well, poisoned. You're not getting away with, you know, just being sick for a while. Uh-uh. Poisoned.
Like dead poisoned? Or like, are we talking delivered candies and that Jules gets sick off of type chocolates?
No, you're going to eat them and you're going to die. Because you're probably going to die when you get mauled by the rabid bear. Again, we have to have...
quickly, because I feel like the rabid bear is not going to take very long. But it will be very unpleasant while it's occurring.
Well, eating poisoned chocolates is also not going to be very pleasant.
That's true.
Because we're not going to be nice with our...
chocolate, right? So, like, for a minute, it'll be pleasant.
I mean, yeah.
And then your guts, like, liquefy and you poop everywhere and you die? That's terrible.
You have to poop first?
Amanda, you're making up rules here. I feel like when I read this and helped with this Would You Rather, I was thinking you survive, but it's the agony of, like, being mauled by a bear or the agony of having to deal with the aftermath of eating a poison chocolate. Like, the stomach pain from the poison chocolate or, like, the physical pain of being mauled by a bear. Well, I wasn't thinking we were dying here.
If you would rather it be that way, then that's fine. Do I get to wear a cool mask if I'm mauled by a bear?
I don't know. I think you have to do everything that Leonardo DiCaprio had to do in The Revenant.
Oh, man. That's...
No.
It's a rough one.
Okay. Chocolate. Chocolate.
Yeah,
for me.
I think if that's the case, I would go chocolate. Because at least I get to eat some chocolate.
Yeah, I think either way, I would go chocolate, personally. A rabid bear? That sounds terrifying. Even if he doesn't kill me. I don't want anything to do.
And he's rabid, so he's going to die. So it's not even like I'd be feeding a bear. He's dying anyway, so I can't even feel good about, you know, helping nature.
That's a really good reason.
It is a good reason. I like it.
Okay, here's our final one. I really like this one.
Me too.
Would you rather be legion cursed or possessed by a slew of dead queens?
Hmm.
It's a hard one.
I don't know. I mean, if it's Legion Curse and it's bound, like Jules is bound, so she kind of has a little bit of it, but she's okay. Like she's A-okay and it's not driving her out of her mind, then that would be okay. But then again, if the dead queens are kept in check, so they're not so bad either. It's like company. You're always, you know, always have somebody to chat with. I don't know. And it would depend, too, like, which two things are you Legion cursed with and which one is stronger.
Hmm.
Let's go with Jules's curse.
I think I'd rather have that than, like, if you're just going with, you know, would I rather have Jules's situation or Katarine's? I'd rather have Jules's for the time being.
Oh, maybe no. What future. Does that mean?
What? I didn't say it. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
Because it's bound.
Yeah, like it's...
Right,
well,
now.
When it's bound, that's what we like. I would like to have right. that. When it's not right. bound, I would not. I would rather be Katarine.
Right. Yeah, because that's kind of like a death sentence, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't ever want to be so mad that I just cause all of my capillaries in my eyes to burst. That just sounds real unpleasant. So,
but you would like it because you like pain.
She probably doesn't like mind it, but you know, nobody likes to feel mad. That's like a gross feeling.
Yeah, so. And you look extra evil if your eyes are red.
Yeah, and I would know. And she hurts her own cougar. I mean, that's the worst.
Yeah, that is. Oh, that was sad. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was bad. I'm still going to say that I live in the in the Breccia domain, apparently, and I would rather be possessed by a slew of dead queens because I don't have any powers of my own, clearly, even though I swear she's a naturalist on the inside.
She is, but she's so weak that it doesn't matter. Like, she could maybe bloom a flower someday, but she would never have a familiar or anything. It'd just be pathetic. But yeah, like, I can see that you would go it that way. You're just like, you're like an honorary Aaron, basically.
Yeah. Except for my hair's not, you know, white.
A lot of them dye it.
That's true. You're right.
I feel like you'd fit right in there.
Yeah, I would.
I almost think I would, too. But now that I'm thinking about the contrast between the two of us, I would clearly fit in. What's the town that the elementals are in?
Rolanth.
Yep, Rolanth. Yeah, so I feel like those are very hard choices. I could definitely foresee you saying the possessed because you like spooky things, too. I get creeped out by spooky things and by paranormal stuff and by horror. So if, for me, the Dead Queens is like a nightmare. I would rather go crazy with rage, for sure.
Well, I mean, that's all of our questions. Do you have any secrets that you will tell us, even though you don't? And I'm just asking just to beg for a secret.
I'm trying to think of, like, one little tidbit that I can tell you guys that is not, you know, like a spoiler. Luke. You'll see Luke again. Luke was not in Two Dark Reigns, but he is in the last book. And yep. So is his rooster, Hank.
Yay, Hank! Hank is back!
Yeah, I love writing Hank, so I wanted to get Hank back. And, No, that's about, like, that's really all I should say, is Hank and Luke are around.
That's good. I was really worried that Hank was going to die because of that time that Arsinoe came in and she was bloody and then the rooster was there. And I think, like, maybe he ate some of her blood and I thought he was going to die.
Oh.
That was, like, second read through, though.
Yeah.
You know, I read it again and I thought, oh, my God, no. What about Hank? You could have killed him. That's all I'm saying.
I could have, but I tend to be very careful with the familiars. Like, I don't even think, I think even Harriet the Chicken is going to pull through, although she is not. Although she is mentioned in the last book, I don't think we ever actually see her on screen because she is just a chicken. So she's still just going to live with the Sandrins.
Aww.
At least she hasn't been eaten.
Yeah, Billy's very concerned about that. He wants to know, like, the origin of every chicken stew and, you know, he wants to see photographic evidence of Harriet still alive. Harriet just holding up today's newspaper.
Thank you so much for coming and chatting with us and giving us some insight into your, you know, what you would rather do in these situations.
All right. Well, yay. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll talk to you guys later.
And that was Would You Rather with Kendara Blake. Whee!
Big thanks for her coming out to talk to us.
Yeah, she's pretty great. I met her in real life. She's so cool.
You did mention that. Just to make us jealous a little bit more.
Yeah.
All right, what life lessons did you learn from her books?
Never give up. Never
give up. That's very uplifting for you.
I know. But it's just because I like Arsinoe so much. She doesn't give up. But then everybody else, too. Everybody is struggling, right? Each sister, plus Jules, they're all vying for the crown. And they have their own setbacks that they have to face, but they keep going. Katarina is weak. And Arsinoe has a disfigured face. And Mirabella is too nice. And Jules is crazy. But they all keep surprising everyone around them because they don't give up. But I gotta say, it's difficult to have a true life lesson since the series isn't over yet. So that's what I'm gonna go with right now. But I would like to revisit this, you know, next September.
Okay. Can I just use that as a cop out and say don't have a life lesson because they're not done yet?
No. Cheater.
Fine. So I actually had a hard time coming up with one this time. And I think one of the bigger things that caught my mind while I was reading as it relates to the real world is the love relationship between Billy and Arsinoe. So I don't know how to phrase this exactly, but, you know, Arsinoe is clearly the probably the least good looking of the three sisters. She's disfigured. She is kind of boyish. And Billy, who is in, is basically favored, right, to be the king consort, is like sticking with Arsinoe, the most unlikely queen to win, the most unlikely one for him to be with. He only wants to court her and falls for her for who she is, right? So the lesson is like, you know, that love is about who somebody is and not what they look like.
Aww. I don't think that, you know, had she not been attacked by a bear, I don't think that she would have been necessarily ugly.
I don't even think she's, I don't think that either. I just think the other two are probably, are more feminine and prettier than her. That's all. All right. What was your final takeaway for the series thus far?
Just read it. Read the series. And everything else by Kendara Blake. Yeah, other than Three Dark Crowns, I've only read Anna Dressed in Blood, and that was when it first came out, which was 100 years ago. So I need to, like, get to reading her other series. But, like, she's really cool in real life, and I want to be her friend. And she doesn't live that far away from me.
Go. No, she doesn't.
Although, I say that, she's probably, like, going to pack up and move. Because Amanda is crazy.
I think that it's really cool to get to talk to an author like that. You know, it brings the book to life in a totally different way. And not only was this series beautifully written, it was engaging and thought-provoking. I just like you, she was super cool. And I really love the series. I think you should read it if you haven't. And we are both very excited to read the fourth book next September.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
So we think you should read it. I wouldn't personally blame you if you waited till next September to read all four, but that's just my note. Because I have a tendency to do that myself.
Yeah, but if you wait, then, like,
I know.
It's hard to wait. So you just keep reading them over and over and over again until the last one comes out. That's what I'm going to do. I've already read them twice. I'm going to read them again.
Yeah, I'll reread them again next fall.
I'm a rereader for sure.
Oh, me too.
That is it for this episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Amber.
Join us next time as we discuss The Maze Runner by James Dashner. If you have any would you rather questions for us about those books or movies or any that we've talked about so far, send them our way. Until next time, remember the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover, and on Twitter at fictionalhangove, no ER. Thanks for listening.